Funniest, most piddling little families with only five or six children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You're giving me a massive headache. Teach
your children well. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by Matt's Cookies, the Doctors of NeuroHealth, and Christina Steele Dermatology. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
I should be playing the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. Or Baby, It Was Cold Outside. Did everybody survive that? Oh, my gosh. That's not something I want to see again anytime soon. You know, I was thinking about that and kind of wondering, like, where's all the global warming stuff these days? I mean, couldn't we use some global warming here? And, the coldest temperatures in sort of almost 30 years, something like that. I mean, doesn't this just kind of say, okay, wait a minute, guys. And in fact, this is exactly why now you don't really hear the term global warming that much. In fact, you hear the term global climate change. Now, you know, the left is going to say it's all the same stuff. It's all man-made and we're messing up the earth and it's all a huge disaster and blah, blah, blah. But it's just that when you get this crazy stuff like this cold happening, or now there are news reports out that, in fact, the Antarctic ice is all back and then some. The polar bears are fine. That just came out a couple of weeks ago. They can't call it global warming because it's obviously not. So then we get global climate change, but it's still this awful man-made problem that apparently we're supposed to fix. You're listening to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, AIM 1160 WYLL. And I was thinking about this week with all this cold weather. And one of my daughters in elementary school was talking about some of her conversations with her friends about this. I thought it was great. You know, the schools, as you know, my kids are in public schools, are just all into what my daughter calls go greenies. And everything's about the environment and everything's about global warming. And, you know, friends, I got to tell you, there just comes a time when we as parents have to help our children to think clearly about things. And I love, you know, I'm not going to march into the school and say, oh, you can't talk about this thing. But I will sure talk to my kids about it and say, hey, what do you think about this? And here's some interesting facts you might not be hearing so much at school. Maybe this is something you can respectfully talk to your teacher or your friends on. You know, teach them to go into the world and kind of challenge conventional wisdom and think for themselves and question authority in an appropriate way. So one of the things, you know, my kids and I have talked about is how do we know what the correct temperature of the earth is? I don't know. Did God tell somebody exactly what the correct temperature of the earth is? And so we have to all believe this and espouse it. And if it varies from that by a tenth of a degree over 40 years, somehow the whole world's going to come to an end. I didn't get the memo on what the correct temperature of the earth should be. I do know that around 1,000 years ago, it was about 4 degrees warmer than it is now. And I've shared that with you before. I was just reading a book, Life in the Year 1000. It was actually very interesting. No politics in it, just talking facts and sort of saying, oh, and for, you know, around that time, it was about 4 degrees warmer, which is why there was a period of time when people grew as tall as they do today, were relatively healthy, according to the standards of the time. Leif Erikson, when he was traversing around the top of the globe, actually found vineyards because it was so warm and the ice had broken up so far he could get so far north. Been there, done that. The world has survived it. The world has done just fine. I would prefer some global warming. I think a lot of us would have earlier this week when it was just so frigidly, frigidly cold. But I just love using things like this and talking to my kids and saying, you know what? The world is going to tell you that man has absolute control over the earth, and we absolutely can change the temperature. We know what the correct temperature should be, and we have to get it to that. The reality is, it just ain't so. The world is incredibly resilient, and we have a responsibility to treat it well and to take care of it and to have dominion over it, but we are not called to worship it. And so this might be a great week to bring out to your friends and to your teachers, hey, what about all that global warming stuff? And maybe there is some problems with this science. And maybe we need to think a little more clearly about such things. And I just love encouraging my children to even challenge me. They're more than welcome to do that. I love it when they say, but Mom, how could this or that be the case? And a lot of times I'll say, hey, I don't know. Let's go look it up or let's go find out more. So I never discourage them from doing that as long as they do it respectfully. And I think it's great to help them to challenge conventional wisdom in the world and to give them that gift early. And who better to do it but a parent? Yes, once again, it does take a parent. And you are listening to Betsy Hart, AM 1160 WYLL. Another thing to think about clearly, I was thinking this week, I know I talked about it a little bit last week, but I looked into it more, and that is the whole Gardasil vaccine for the 9-year-olds. And, you know, now some pediatricians are actually kind of seeing some side effects and they're backing off a little bit, encouraging their youngest patients to get it. But I touched on this last week. I want to talk about a little bit more this week in the heartbeat section of the show of It Takes a Parent. And then when we come back, we get the very fortunate blessing of having Dr. Paul Randolph, who is the head of Insight Christian Counseling, talking about in particular what he sees in his practice, which is a lot of parents of teenagers coming in and they are just not just struggling with their teens, but they're struggling with each other. Apparently, as he points out, it is one of the toughest years for a marriage, or some of the toughest years for a marriage, is when you are raising teens. And this week he's going to be talking about the problem, what you might be seeing in your own marriage, or what might be around the corner for you if you've got kids. And then next week he's going to come back and talk to us about how to fix it. So you are not going to want to miss that time with Paul Randolph. But in the meantime, a little more on this Gardasil vaccine. Again, I touched on this last week. The pharmaceutical maker Merck is seeking approval from the FDA for boys as young as 9 to get the Gardasil vaccine, which prevents some strains of the human papillomavirus, or HPV, which is a virus spread during sex. And in turn, it can cause cervical cancer in women. So now the goal is to get these 9-year-olds vaccinated. So, you know, and when I thought about this, I thought, look, my biggest issue isn't just that it's against, you know, giving kids, I'm not just against giving kids of either sex the vaccine for reasons of principle, though such reasons might suffice. You know, I mean, first of all, nobody's going to try a new vaccine on my child. But, you know, and then there's a question of doesn't giving the kids the vaccine secretly, since it presents some difficulties. I mean, good luck with that, right? Because it takes 3 separate doses during a time when kids are not being routinely vaccinated. Doesn't that communicate that we, you know, expect them to behave sexually? Well, you know, yeah, duh. And could a child easily think, oh my gosh, you know, I've gotten this sex vaccine, so now I'm safe. I won't get pregnant. I won't get other STDs. Yeah, they're kids. They're not going to figure it out. They're not going to get it. But what really, really, and I did some more research on this week and got some of the numbers together because I think it's really interesting. What outrages me is that it's just not a good, encouraging the Gardasil vaccine for children and teens, young teens, is not, it makes no sense from a public health standpoint. It turns out that there are about 40 different strains of the sexually transmitted HPV. The Gardasil protects against some of the most problematic ones, not all of them. And interestingly, most sexually active people are going to get this virus. It's the most commonly spread one. They're going to get it at some point in their life, about 75% of men and 50% of women. And the body will typically clear the virus on its own. It's like a cold, or it's like a virus you get that you never have symptoms to. You just, your body fixes it on its own. That happens in almost all cases. In maybe 10, maybe as much as 20, probably more like about 10% of cases, that's not going to happen. Some of those cases then go on to become cases of cervical cancer in women. And friends, if you've got young daughters and you've been to the pediatrician, they're talking to you about this HPV vaccine, and you've got to know what the answers are. So, you know, here's the other thing. While cervical cancer is almost always curable when caught early, it is extreme. It's almost always curable. The 5-year survival rate is literally about 100%. And there is a very inexpensive, extremely effective test to detect it, which is the pap smear, of course. And by the way, when you get the vaccine, you still have to get an annual pap smear, FYI, because the vaccine only protects against about 80% of the strains which cause cancer. So it's not like you can get one and give up the other. So, and then still we have, you know, the cervical cancer affects about 11,000 women a year, about 4,000 die of it because they were not tested early, in which case they would have been almost certainly cured. So, you know, so now let's circle back. So the vaccine itself is 3 separate visits, $360. And the manufacturer, Merck, last year made $1.5 billion. And this is just from pretty much just from kids and very young teens. So now they want to expand it to boys as young as 9. They want, of course, insurance to pay for it. They want it to be approved for older women who may even have already been exposed to HPV, et cetera. So we're talking billions and billions of dollars being sucked out of our healthcare system to help prevent a help to prevent a disease, not actually prevent it, but help to prevent a disease, which is relatively rare, easily detected, and almost always curable if found early. And consider, by the way, the same people who are going to be getting this vaccine are probably the same ones that would have had the pap smears. Now, look, yes, it might help any particular individual to keep from getting this disease. Yes, if an older, you know, young adult woman wants to consider getting it, you know, before she becomes sexually active, fine. I'm not saying it shouldn't be available. I'm just saying to push it as a public health initiative on very young children and teens makes no sense. How about spending those same billions of dollars to get the women at greatest risk, which is the poor, to get them a regular pap smear and treatment if they are found to have cervical cancer? And then maybe spend, you know, you'd spend a fraction of those billions to do that. And then spend the balance of the billions to maybe go after issues like being overweight and obesity. That kills 300,000 people a year in this country. So the second leading cause of preventable death. As a public health initiative, widespread pushing of the Gardasil vaccine on very young children and teens is just absolutely makes no sense. It is just ludicrous in terms of sense with an S or sense, C-E-N-T-S. And I think too often in this country when it comes to public health issues, and very often when it comes to public health and sex, we do lose our senses. We need to think clearly about the cost-benefit analysis here. Friends, you're going to want to come back, talk about analysis. We're going to be talking with Dr. Paul Randolph of Insight Christian Counseling about parenting teens during the during those difficult years and how to keep your marriage strong in the process. You're not going to want to miss this. Come back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmastime activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, How the Culture of Pushover Parenting is Hurting Our Kids and What to Do About It, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host Betsy Hart can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942. too.
Have you considered supporting Ask the Pastor financially? We need your help, and we have found a way for you to support the show with no cost on your part. If you have Nicor Gas, there are many choices and suppliers for natural gas. Ask the Pastor has teamed up with a gas supplier who shares your desire to save money and help worthy causes. By simply going to lifechangers.joinambit.com, you can watch the videos or learn more about how to save money on your natural gas bill and support the ministry. That's lifechangers.joinambit.com.
Chicago's Christian Talk includes Hope in the Night with June Hunt. Learn more at WILL.com and listen weekday evenings at 11.
Evenings in Chicago, WILL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. I hope you're staying warm out there if you're listening to this in Chicagoland. And now we get a special treat. I get to welcome Dr. Paul Randolph to my show. Dr. Paul is a friend, but he's also an ordained minister. He's been married over 20 years to his wife. He is a licensed and longtime family counselor with a long list of great practices he has been part of. He now heads up Insight Christian Counseling. You can find them at insightcounsel.org. I'll be putting all that good stuff on my website. And Paul Randolph, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Betsy.
Well,
thank you.
Really, really glad you're here. And, you know, you and I had already talked about having you come on the show. And as I had told my listeners in the first part of the show, that the focus is going to be all about teenagers, but for once, not raising the teenagers. That would be, you know, about a six-month series of shows. We're going to talk about keeping the marriage relationship strong during one of the toughest times of a marriage relationship, which is when you're raising teens. So I was telling a friend of mine that you were going to be on the show. She said, oh, my gosh, I've got to listen. She said, you know, we're just having a tough time. She and her husband, she said, Betsy, this is the hardest time of our marriage. And I said, well, hey, tune in so we can figure out, you know, how to help folks who are really struggling during those tough years. And you and I were talking about this a little bit ahead of time. And you know, my oldest is 14 and I'm not married, unfortunately, though I would like to be. And I would like to have stayed married for the record. But you're saying that's one of the toughest things you see in your practice is parents coming in and struggling with their own relationship during the teen years. I have to say that I'm a little bit surprised to hear that. I would have thought it would be the sleep deprived little kid years when your life fundamentally changes when you first have that baby. But you're telling me, and I'm hearing from other people, that's just not the case.
Yeah, and I think the studies and statistics bear that out in that while the overall national divorce rate has declined about 1.4% for couples who have been married 25, 30 years, the divorce rate has actually increased by 16%. And that's one of the things that got me thinking about this besides my own marriage and my own family where I have now only two teenagers left, but I have a daughter who's 21, how challenging these years were for my wife and I to keep the focus where it needed to be to keep our marriage going strong.
Now, we're going to get into all that, but I want to just circle back for a second to those statistics that the divorce rate is actually going up in that particular age group. It's going down elsewhere. So, I mean, you would kind of think that it would go in tandem, that it would be, you know, everybody's getting divorced. Now, not everybody's getting divorced, but one group is kind of staying married and one group is really, is picked up just even, it sounds like, just in recent years. What is it that's changed for this group in the last decade or two that's causing some of this change in numbers?
Yeah.
You know, the recent empty nesters, the new empty nesters, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know that I have an exact answer for what's changed in the last 10 years. I can only tell you what I see as a counselor and a pastor, people coming into my office. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that in our society today, there's just fewer and fewer reasons for people to stay married. In the state that I'm in, Pennsylvania, we've enacted no-fault divorce. Mm. and that was supposed to make divorce less acrimonious, and it hasn't really made divorce less acrimonious. It's only made it easier to obtain.
Yeah,
so I think it's more of a societal thing.
And by the way, you know, once in a while I'll talk to people and they'll say, oh, you know, we were such good friends and now we're even better friends that we're not married anymore. And every once in a while you run across that. Then why not just stay married? I mean, you know, divorce is a fundamentally ripping apart of lives. So if it's not that, it's almost weird. In other words, I sort of look at people who say, death is this really natural, lovely state. No, it's not. It's death. It's a bad thing. It was never supposed to come into the world in the first place, if you believe the Bible. And I kind of feel that way with divorce, too. In other words, I guess I'm almost thinking a non-acrimonious divorce or a gentler, kindler divorce is a little bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah, and I would agree. And I think the children of divorce would bear that out. Because,
yeah, they don't care. Yeah, they just know you're not living together anymore.
Right, and they would rather have mom and dad together, even if mom and dad get divorced when I turn 20 or I'm 24 or 25. It throws a whole monkey wrench into the family dynamic.
And by the way, in the earlier years, I mean, kids would much rather have their parents fighting under one roof. Almost always, unless, as you know, and the evidence bears this out, and Wallerstein and Blakesley in their book talk about this, unless the marriage is extraordinarily either violent or just incredible levels of high tension, a state few marriages reach, I mean, the way they describe it before the divorce, unless it's at that level of acrimony, most kids would say, I don't care if my parents are fighting. I really don't care. They just care about themselves, and they care that the parents are living in the home. So anyway, that's a whole separate topic. But yeah, I mean, are people maybe doing this? Let's just stick with the statistics for a second before we get into kind of what you're seeing in your practice. And the great thing is, as I've told my listeners, I've got you for 2 weeks. So we're doing sort of what's going on this week and how to fix it next week. But as part of it, they think, oh, at age 20, my kids have had the benefit of an intact marriage. So now's the time to get out.
Well, I think that's a part of it. For someone who feels trapped in their marriage, oftentimes they will stay in it for the sake of the kids, and that's not a bad thing. I think that's a good thing
right.
for the kids. And but once the kids have been launched, well, now I can take care of my own needs and my own problems, and so then, you know, there's one less reason to stay married.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all for staying married for the sake of the kids. And there's been some great research that says if you just stick together for a period of time, oftentimes just the act of staying together will turn your marriage into a happy one. In fact, most of the times people self-report being much happier years later, even after they first said they had a terrible marriage. And there's been some interesting research done on that. Just even without counseling, the act of staying together produced happiness. And as Christians, you know, we sort of say, okay, look, hopefully we say, marriage is not just about happiness. That's a great thing. And oftentimes we will find that in marriage if we look at it rightly. But ultimately, marriage is about holiness, not just happiness. And I think too often we get focused on what are my needs and am I happy in the moment instead of looking to glorify God with our marriages. But but the people who are coming to you, they are looking for help. They are saying we've got a problem. They are saying hopefully at least both my feet aren't out the door yet. So when they come to you, they're in these tough years, and what are some of the key things that you're seeing as they raise these teens, and hopefully these are folks who want to stay together?
You know, I think there's some very broad factors that are at work for many of these couples, and then there's some specific teenager and couple issues in the teen years. So let me start with the broad, and then we'll get into that.
And by the way, let me jump in. Am I right? When people come to see you, is it because they really are trying to fix it, or do you find that sometimes they're sort of already out the door? This is just their, I went to counseling. I mean, do you see, what's the majority of folks?
I see both. Most people are coming to me because at least one spouse who wants to try to save the marriage. But you sometimes do have one or both who've pretty much just about given up. But coming at it as a Christian, most people assume that I have pretty strong convictions on marriage, and so
they're right. Yeah,
they are, and so they pretty much know that I'm not going to settle for, oh well, you know, see me for two sessions, and then you can sign up with your attorney and say that you've tried to save it.
Okay, so they're walking in the door. Hopefully, one or hopefully both of them are really trying to get some help, and you figure out, oh my gosh, these people have teenagers. of course they're unhappy.
Right.
So then what do you tell them?
Right. Well, I think there's some general factors, like I said, that make these years more of a challenge. I think for many couples, when you have your kids in the teen years, you have less emotional reserve.
Mm.
Things that you didn't react to as much, now you do react to them more.
You mean in your spouse, if your spouse is upsetting you?
Right, between you and your spouse. And it's added by the fact that you now have these mini adults in your home. For example, when our kids were younger, we'd get them to bed 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have a couple of hours just for ourselves. Now my kids want to stay up later than my wife and I can stay up. And you just don't have that emotional reserve, and there's more fatigue. I also think we are living a faster and increasingly faster paced life, which leads to many people just being stressed out. I mean, recently a study showed that over 200 million prescriptions for antidepressants and anti-stress medication were prescribed for Americans.
Better living through chemistry, I suppose, for some.
Yeah, and 1 out of 10 Americans feel great stress at least once a week. And what parent of teens isn't stressed out?
Yeah, I mean, let's pause there for a second. We'll come back and do more on the other side of the break. But, you know, sometimes I hear people talk about stress, and I just think, okay, wait a minute. You know, if you look back, say, 100 years, stress was, is the crop going to produce enough to feed my family? Is this infection going to carry my infant off to death? You know, previous to that, I mean, you know, we've just been suffering this real cold snap in Chicago. I was telling my kids, you know, hello, there was a time when people lived through this and there was no central heating. I mean, it seems to me that's real stress. I mean, if you're healthy and your kids are healthy, I mean, I'm the first one to talk about how stressed out I get, but it does sometimes frustrate me. I kind of think, okay, let's put this in perspective. Should we really be sort of, I don't know, throwing these pity parties for all the stress we're under? Or should we sort of look at it and say, come on, realistically, we're healthy, we have warm homes. When those things are in place, maybe we just shouldn't let ourselves get so stressed out? Or is that just unrealistic?
Well, I see it as a combination of things. I think, yes, certainly your attitude towards the challenges you're facing is going to make a big difference on your stress level. But there are things that just tear at your marriage that are stressful.
All right.
The loss of a job, parents maybe getting older or moving further away, and just the greater teen issues that you face with your kids, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
All right. Well, we're talking to Dr. Paul Randolph. We're going to come back, and I'm going to be a lot more sympathetic to those folks undergoing stress in their marriage. We're going to learn how to handle it. When you've got teens, stay with me. Betsy Hart, It Takes a Parent. Come right back.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies. Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmas time activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com.
Writers who publish the old-fashioned way tell a lot of the same stories. A compromised message, little control over the product, and a year or more before a book is on the market. Want to keep your book yours? Self-publish with Zulon Press. Specializing in Christian authors, Zulon Press requires no compromises, gets your book in print in a fraction of the time, and 100% of the reward is yours. Learn more with your free self-publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com. Your book, your message, your rewards. ChristianPublishing.com.
Jay Sekulow talks about the issues of the day from a Christian perspective on Jay Sekulow Live, weekday mornings at 11 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, and I am sitting in the counseling chair with Dr. Paul Randolph of Insight Christian Counseling. You can find him at insightcounsel.org, and I'm going to put all that stuff up on my website because you're going to want to touch base with him. Great website, lots of interesting insights, some of the ones we're doing right now, talking about the relationship between a husband and wife and managing it and not heading to divorce during those very, very difficult teen years. He does do counseling by phone. He's a great speaker. Lots going on there. So do check out that website. But now I get to get Dr. Randolph's ear once again, talking about where we left off was during the teen years facing a lot of stress, particularly with teens. They're maybe running in different directions. They're driving. They're staying out late. They're making you crazy because they've just lied to you about where they were, all that kind of stuff. And you know, all the kidding aside, it is really stressful. I had another good friend of mine who said, you know, I've got five kids, a couple of them are teens. She's a married mom, and she said, you know, all these people talk about identity theft. Where can I please go to have my identity stolen? I don't want it anymore. It's hard. And I said, boy, you know, I kind of see your point. So. But one of the concerns I have is that parents get stressed because they cater so much to their kids and there's just 18 different activities they're getting them to during the week. And I will have people say to me, because my kids live with me 24/7, and they'll say to me, you know, you're raising these four kids and it's just you that they're living with right now. How do you do it? And I'll say, well, one thing I got to tell you, I have no guilt about the fact my kids aren't involved in every activity coming down the pike. I'm not in the car all the time running them everywhere because I just can't. I let it go. Do you think some of it is we bring the stress on ourselves?
I agree. I think we do. And I know when our kids were going through
the travel sports
the
teams
and
the blah, blah, blah.
Years,
yeah.
Right, we put a limit on how many activities they could do because that really leads into another factor that I see. And it's what Dr. Tim Clinton of American Association of Christian Counselors calls hyper living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're pulled in every direction. We're busy, but we're going nowhere fast. We have to do more with
Ooh,
less. So we're
busy, but going nowhere fast. I like that.
Yeah, you know, and cell phones, faxes, microwaves. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
Hey, I like my microwave. Don't be going there.
Well, I was driving my car the other day, and I'm watching this man actually shave and fix his hair while he was driving. I mean, it's like crazy.
Now that is crazy. Now, if you're fixing your eyebrows, you know, and plucking those just right because the light happens to be really good when you're in your car. That's completely reasonable to me, but a guy,
40 miles an hour.
No, that might be a little complicated. Okay, so we're stressed out, and you know, obviously, kids are getting into behavioral issues in those teen years that you haven't faced before. Maybe they're dating. I don't think teens should be dating, but again, a separate show. There's all that kind of stuff that's now added to the family dynamic. You're no longer telling your 4-year-old to stay seated and putting them in their bed at night. And you're done with them at 8 o'clock.
Right, sure. And with mom and dad often both working, you have what some experts call the DINS syndrome, D-I-N-S, dual income, no sex. And, you know, we were just too tired for intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, you know, when you have teenagers in your home, you have a less privacy, you're more tired, you have them coming to you with issues that are more adult-like, and you know, you throw that in with a faster pace, and you have a recipe for frustration between couples. And I also think there's some specific issues that take place both in the teenagers and in the couple during these years.
Okay.
And in terms of teenagers, you know, you have this shift going from them being a child to a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty significant. And then along with that is the struggle of your teenager in dealing with wanting to be independent and autonomous from mom and dad, but knowing that they're still dependent upon them,
mm-hmm.
especially before they get their own set of wheels. And that can be a big struggle for the teenager, you know, and how you manage that as a parent it can really make a difference.
Okay. And do you find, you know, although I would think that this argument would be fairly consistent throughout married life, but tell me if it changes from what you see, is he's not doing enough or she's asking for too much or I'm doing the bulk of the work or I'm more emotionally invested. Is that the kind of stuff you continue to see in your practice?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes as you find your marriage is starting to drift apart, you'll pour yourself into something else to try to experience what's now lacking. For some people, maybe the husband's pouring himself into the job or the wife's pouring herself into the job and the other parent's pouring themselves into the kids and mm-hmm. becoming this super parent or living through their teen. And they're really beginning to draw emotional satisfaction from their teen, which they should really be getting from their spouse.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so, well, I jumped in, but is it that as you see your kids getting older and you can have a more adult conversation, they become another adult in the home that you're having a relationship with, which is great, except if it pulls you away from your spouse.
Right. Okay. A teenager cannot take the place mm-hmm. Of a spouse. It's not going to happen. And that's a big mistake you can find yourself getting into. And, you know, the fact that your teen is now more sexually aware and beginning to date. You know,
well, your teens might have been beginning to date. My teens are not going to be beginning to date. But.
Well, I didn't want my kids dating, especially my daughter, till they turned, 30. Things happened a little bit differently than that. But I do advise parents not permitting their kids to go on solo dates till at least 16, because all the information that I read bears out the earlier you let your kids start dating in a serious way, the more problem you're going to have with premarital sex.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a big duh to that. I mean, you know, I have told my kids, and this is, again, we're just going to take a little segue here because this is just a hot topic with me, and I've talked with them since they were little. Dating is for when you are serious about getting married. You should have guy friends, go to the prom, go to the homecoming, go out in groups, have fun. But those teen years are for developing your friendships, growing on your own. And I'm not saying that I'm going to have perfect control over my kids. I would like to think so. Probably not going to happen. I know that things will happen that I won't know about. I'm sure they already are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I've really talked to them about this, and I really hope that at least I've at least delayed that one-on-one dating. And I can tell you, as being a single woman in her 40s with four kids, and hopefully I have a good head on my shoulders and I think straight about things, the dating life and relationships can make me crazy and emotional and find it difficult to think clearly and wisely about things. So the idea that a child could do that, no way. I'm serious. Given just what I've been through the
absolutely.
Last few years, I've said there's no way a teenager can handle this. So it's made me, you know, actually more conscious of it in my kids than I might otherwise be. So that's my soapbox for today. I've done that on the show before. We've talked about that issue. So I might disagree with you a little bit there, and you're probably going to say, Betsy, come back to me in 10 years and let me know how it all worked out for you
keeping those kids from dating.
But
there's great wisdom in what you're saying, Betsy.
But the reality is, you know.
Yeah, and I think culturally our society is so geared toward, well, when you're a teenager, you're dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, we definitely put the same kind of emphasis for our kids that you're talking about there in terms of being together in groups and cultivating friendships, absolutely, I think.
But they're still, at the very least, they're still going to have crushes and so-and-so broke my, whatever. That's still going to be going on. So now you've got that to deal with.
Right, right. And then I think there's a shift, there's a change that occurs in puberty in the relationship, particularly between fathers and their daughters and mothers and their sons.
Okay.
As, you know, your teenagers beginning to develop physically, and they're beginning to look beyond mom and dad as the sole source of wisdom and truth and everything else. There's a shift that takes place there, and I sensed it particularly as a dad with my daughter, you know, in how I would relate to her, how I would be more careful to knock before going into her room, and things like that, and you know, there's that shift that takes place there. It's subtle. It's not always crying out loudly, but it's there, and that's something that I think parents need to work through. And if they can work through it together, they're so much the better. I also think it's interesting how children mirror their parents, and that becomes more acute in the teenage years.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, if you struggle with being impatient, and you see your teenager struggling with that, they can manifest that in more adult-like ways.
Great. So basically, my sin gets reflected back to me more loudly and obviously during the teen years, is what you're saying.
I experienced that in my home.
Oh, I hate when that happens. And I've you know, one of my daughters is particularly loud, and I have a feeling it's only going to get worse as she mirrors back to me more accurately.
Yeah,
what goes on in my home?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also the shift from for the teen in not wanting to be controlled, but see you as a source of certainly authority, but also of influence. And that shift that's taking place in those early teen years, as you have less and less overt control over their lives and need to become more a source of influence for them.
And I think when we're going to take a break, friends, I'm talking to Dr. Paul Randolph, and the good news is he's going to come back next week and tell us how to fix all this stuff. But I would also think that one of the key things is parents begin to lose, and rightly so, some control over their kids. And you just worry. The stakes are higher. Now there's drugs and alcohol and driving. And are they going to get into a good college? And, of course, it's going to impact your marriage. Friends, you're listening to It Takes a Parent with Dr. Paul Randolph. Come back right after the show with more. And we'll get ready to fix all these issues in your marriage next week. Stay with us.
Start your day with Leading the Way and Michael Youssef. Weekday mornings at 8 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
This radio station has been such a blessing.
Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmastime activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Are your kids disrespectful and defiant? Mine were, too. My name is Geraldine Lewis. My kids fought with me constantly. They threw things and slammed doors when I told them no. One day, my husband heard an ad on the radio for James Lehman's Total Transformation. We ordered it and the behavior changed immediately. Our kids are calmer and more respectful now. There's no more arguing and screaming, all because we know how to handle them now. Even their teachers can't believe the difference. Before this program, we couldn't even go to restaurants without an outburst. Now, we go out to eat and even took our first family vacation, and it was great. When I told James Lehman about my family, he asked me to be a spokesperson and share our story. I agreed, because if one family can turn around the way we did with the Total Transformation, it's worth it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-489-9035. 1-800-489-9035. It's guaranteed, so call now, 1-800-489-9035.
You have to see the Screwtape Letters. It's now been extended by popular demand through March the 1st. But guess what? On January the 22nd, WYLO will celebrate its 20th anniversary at the Mercury Theater with Screwtape Letters. And listeners that purchase four tickets will receive a free dinner for four at Collins Grill. Plus, afterwards, we're going to celebrate with free dessert and coffee and meet and greet Max McLean. Call 773-325-1700. That's 773-325-1700 or visit ScrewtapeOnStage.com.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. You can find out more at betsysblog.com. I would love to have you visit. I'll be posting all kinds of good stuff for my discussions today and next week with Dr. Paul Randolph of Insight Christian Counseling. You can find him at insightcounsel.org, and you're going to want to get his good advice and insights. That Dr. Paul, welcome back to It Takes a Parent.
Thank you, Betsy. And I thought in this last segment, maybe we could talk about some of the things that couples particularly are dealing with during these years. We've looked at kind of how the teens are having some changes, but what's going on with mom and dad?
Yeah, what are they doing through all this? So this is, you know, what's happening in that marriage relationship during this very tough time. I don't know. I guess there's times when I almost think maybe it's a good thing I'm a single parent. Then at least I'm just fighting with four kids, you know, not four kids and a spouse.
Yeah, but you're still going to face some of the things even as a single parent.
I know.
Older.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, that's one of the issues right there for the couple. They're getting older. They don't
hate when that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're not quite as fast, quite as sharp as we used to be. I remind
myself. Hey, speak for yourself.
Dad power, but.
Yeah. Right. So what's going on? So what is going on with them? This stuff is all happening in their homes. What is going on between the mom and dad? What are you seeing? The landmines.
Well, as you deal with greater levels of frustration, you're going to start sensing that you're not quite on the same team like you used to be. And so often the teenagers can exploit that. If mom's more lenient and dad's less lenient, they'll go to mom with more things, and maybe there'll be issues in front of the kids that mom and dad are arguing over. That's always a recipe for disaster. Mm. You're going to have the issue of greater financial pressure, and there's often going to be arguments over money that can begin to take.
Because of the college years just around the corner.
Well, yeah, you've got the pressure of how am I going to pay for college,
mm-hmm.
and in addition, even just the pressure of, will my kid make it? Will they get to the school that I want them to get to? Unfortunately, none of my kids play sports in a way that's going to get them to be professional athletes. So,
yeah.
Study hard, kid.
Yeah.
So you have this pulling at the husband, pulling at the wife, and then there's some common mistakes that they can make as they think, well, things will get better tomorrow, and you begin to assume, well, we can pick up where we left off. We just got to get through these teen years, and so there's this postponement thinking that takes place. And or, like I mentioned before the break, you can pour yourself into something else, whether it be a job, friends, your self-interest, pour yourself even into your kids.
Mm. Their activities, their successes, their failures, you know, their schoolwork, whatever.
Right,
yeah.
And the marriage is made the afterthought. It gets the leftovers. Maybe there are short bursts of time where you and your spouse feel close to each other, but they're interspersed with long periods of nothing, almost like you're going through a desert, and you find every few and far between those oases where you and your spouse can just work on your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then that produces, I think, a prolonged resentment. Because you start doing
okay.
a slow burn over some of these things that frustrate you, and you sense that wall building between you and your spouse. And, you know, I remember talking to this fellow who got divorced after 25 years of marriage, and
Jeez.
He said this. And I think this is very telling. He said, we never had a very close relationship, but the kids kept us together. They were our connecting point.
Hmm.
But when they left home, it was just the two of us with no buffers. We
wow.
had nothing in common and decided it was crazy to waste the rest of our lives, so we divorced. And what a sad, sad commentary
yep.
on a couple who just put less and less into their marriage and realized that, okay, the kids are keeping this together, but what happens when the kids are gone?
Yeah, yeah. Or when they were gone, if they see that problem, instead of saying, well, let's find some things to keep us together, they took the quote-unquote easy way out. But so what you're saying is people put off the idea of building into their marriage today. I mean, is part of it, Dr. Paul, that we're just becoming such a child-centered world, and so our relationships, it's... You know, you really do say sometimes to people, well, you know, if you, you know, your husband and wife, the marital relationship should be the most important relationship in the home. People kind of look at you funny, like, no, the kids should be the most important. I mean, that there really is this weird mindset today that they should usurp the primary relationship in the home between the husband and wife, which is going to last a lot longer, should last a lot longer than the relationship of having young children in the home.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think you'll find sometimes this paranoia parenting where you're just afraid of, oh my gosh, if I do this wrong or I do that wrong or I don't spend enough time with this or, you know, I don't get my kids SAT tutored when they enter elementary school, they're going to fail and they're not going to produce and, you know.
Paranoia parenting. I love that. I had to, you know, I don't know. I just don't experience that. And maybe it's because of I just know I have to put so many things off the table because I'm just trying to, you know, hang in there with these four kids. But or maybe it's because I'm a Calvinist. I don't know. But I just figure, you know what? It's all going to work out. I'm doing the best I can. It's good enough.
Well,
but I see it. I see what you're saying all the time. It makes me crazy. I couldn't wake up every morning so full of fear about my kids as I see other people do. I just couldn't. It would be exhausting.
Yeah. And I think there's two extremes to avoid. One is treating your kids like they're the excess baggage.
Mm-hmm.
As one kid told me one time, he
Ooh,
said, I feel like I'm the carry-on luggage that's stowed up in the luggage rack in my parents'
so
life. So there's that extreme versus the kids are everything. And, you know, we can never say no to our kids, and we've got to be hovering over them every moment of every day. And I think both extremes are unhealthy, both for the kids and for the marriage.
Okay, so then back then, so now we've circled back to the marriage. We've just got a couple minutes left. The good news is, friends, Dr. Paul is going to be with us again next week and talk about how to fix some of this stuff. Dr. Paul, give me some headlines for what we're going to be hearing from you next week. I mean, we're leaving it. You know, we've got a whole week now. People are like, yeah, that's me. I'm disaffected. I'm pouring myself into other things. We're not sharing intimacy anymore. Oh my gosh, when my kids grow up, is there going to be anything between us? So give me some headlines to hold us over a little bit as to what we're going to be looking at when we get you back here.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Because I think what I want to encourage parents to do is to chart a new course today and not when the kids are gone. You can't wait until they've graduated high school or college to decide, okay, now we can get back to our marriage. And so what I want to do is provide some, I think, very concrete and biblically rooted steps that a couple can take in terms of anchoring their commitment both to God and to each other, throwing the past overboard and letting go of some of those past marital disappointments, and then really changing the direction of your relationship, reworking some of the parenting issues. I think these are all things that we can do, and I think will make a difference for the couple so that they don't wind up when the last kid goes off into the horizon of saying, my gosh, you know, who is this person that I've been sharing a bed with or sharing an address with for the last 10 years? I don't know them anymore.
That is, and is that the biggest mistake that you think parents make, is to not, or at least when couples make in their relationship, is to not address those issues now, to think we can figure this all out later, just get me through the door.
Right, exactly. Let's just get through these years, and then we can go back to working on our marriage. And it's that postponement thinking. You think that, well, things will get better tomorrow, or assume that you can pick up in your marriage where you left off. And the problem with that is you're not the same person you were 10 or 12 years ago. You've changed. You've matured.
And we're going to figure out. Okay, and we're going to figure out how to fix this and help some of these relationships next week on It Takes a Parent. Please join us again when we get more of Dr. Paul Randolph's wisdom. In the meantime, you can visit him at insightcouncil.org. And I'm so glad we decided to do this over two shows, because there's just so much here. And I hope you'll come back and join us next week. In the meantime, friends, thanks so much for tuning in. Do visit me at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com. Have a great week and stay warm. Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmas time activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org, or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients: flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, of the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, "I highly recommend it." Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host Betsy Hart can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. 8942.